Just a disclaimer, this episode contains graphic descriptions of sexual assault, of violence, domestic abuse. So please do not listen to this episode with children present. And, you know, I would just be aware of that for yourself personally, because it could be quite triggering. Aloha.
Aloha.
Brothers and sisters.
Lauren has yet again graced us with her Microsoft background.
With my AI background. Bienvenidos, everyone. From the sunny shores of Puerto Rico, I am dispatching for, well, yet again, another episode of Pop Apologist. Chandler, you're currently reclining on the couch of our childhood home. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I've been testing out different rooms in our house for internet speed, so we're going to see how this goes. And, you know, if we hear background noise, it is what it is, everybody. We're on Deb's program, not mine.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I am also doing the same thing, right? The internet was always dropping off of my office. Mm-hmm. And then when I recorded from the table, it was echoey and the light was really bad. So here I am now in a different location, but you keep shaming me and telling me this is obnoxious.
It is obnoxious. And I know you're not trying to be obnoxious, but I want you to close that curtain, because no matter what, whatever background I'm going to be recording from until the end of time, it's going to look terrible next to yours. It looks like I said before in the previous episode, it looks like I'm recording from a federal prison and you're recording from a vacation. Like, those are real waves breaking on the shore behind you. That's annoying to me.
I just personally feel like with the chaos that sometimes happens on this podcast, the serenity of the ocean might be just what our viewers need to get them through the roller coaster that is everything we get into on Pop Apologist, Chandler.
No, that's true. Everyone, please enjoy the bliss happening behind Lauren's shoulders.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Let's get into it, because today we have so much to discuss. The first thing, first item up for business is we're going to get into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Then yeah. We're going to review the allegations and the lawsuit between Cassie and P. Diddy. And finally, we are going to dive headfirst into the article that came out in the Wall Street Journal about Travis Kelce, where he really got into deets about his relationship with our Lord and Savior, Taylor Swift.
Yes, lots to get into. I can't believe we were graced with such a large article from Travis Kelce. So buckle in, everybody.
I know. But before we get there, let's do a little bit of a Bravo moment and talk about the most recent episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. So brief recap for everyone. This was after Sutton's meltdown in Vegas. So this next episode essentially is showing the aftermath. The girls wake up in Vegas. They proceed to have separate little rendezvous. Sutton and Garcelle, they do a little gondola ride with an opera singer. Crystal and Erica, they get lunch. Dorit and Kyle get lunch. So we get some separate little conversations. Then the gals go to dinner. And then we have, you know, back in Beverly Hills, more aftermath, more lunches and more discussions. So it was a meal-packed episode.
I want to quickly talk about Garcelle and Sutton on their gondola ride, trying to get into it and trying to talk about, you know, the previous night and everything that's transpired. And their gondola driver, gondola person. I want to be respectful to this community, but their gondola instructor continues to break into their conversation with song. And how many of us have also been at a lunch or dinner and trying to just get the damn tea, and your friend can't even get a sentence out because of a well-meaning server continually interrupting the table? You know, more drinks? How are we doing on food? And I just want to say, I have been a server. I understand, but it can be very frustrating.
Can I tell you one of the things I loathe the most? It's when you're in the middle of a story, you were about to get to the punchline, you've been working to deliver this really good juice, and then the server approaches. And you're right. Like, well, fuck. Like the entire moment is ruined.
No, it's gone. It's literally gone. It's like your moment's been upstaged.
Your timing is ruined.
Ruined. You might as well just, you know, get the check.
Yes.
And I'm starting to think maybe they do it on purpose because they also want to get the tea.
Perhaps. No, I thought that moment was so funny when the opera singer, like, just like knowing that they're filming a reality show, right. Knowing exactly what's happening was just like, as they were trying to gossip. It was hilarious. I want to top line this episode. I did find it to be a really good episode of Beverly Hills. I found Erica talking about her precarious financial position to be, I think, the most riveting part of that episode. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the thing that you really can learn the most from, and I think was so vulnerable of her to discuss, essentially, like, probably Erica lives month to month now.
Yeah.
Is worried about paying bills. And I thought it was very interesting to watch as they asked that question at the table, like, when does mm-hmm. money stop making you happy? And it was very clear that Erica is in a position where, you know, she has financial needs right. that are not totally met anymore. And you look across the table at someone like Sutton, who seems to still want more money, how she was like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind being a billionaire. But, you know, in spite of her vast riches, does not seem to be that happy.
Right.
So it was like a very interesting moment. I'm curious what you thought about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we're seeing Erica open up a ton on this mm-hmm. season. I do think mm-hmm. she seems like she's had some growth happen, you know, something I never thought we'd see. And you know, if you remember, Erica was a bartender or a server, like trying to make it in LA, I think, when she met Tom Girardi. And mm-hmm. I think Erica living close to the wire is actually like wasn't that long ago. So I think to go to this high life of private planes and, you know, being Mrs. Right. Girardi to then, you know, not right back to where she was, but back to being stressed financially and not just having everything taken care of. I mean, that would be terrible. And I think you would probably think to yourself when you're at the top, you know, oh, I've come so far, I'll never be back there again. But to be back there, to be now famous, but still financially strained, like that would be so difficult.
Well, and I think the thing that also I kept thinking about was how many women specifically go through that, right? Like mm-hmm. they have a divorce later in life,
right?
But they're not on a reality television show where right. they make 600 grand a year and also do brand deals. And, you know, Erica probably makes a great living. And so she's in a much better position than so many women that are, right. that have a similar situation happen. My heart really went out to her and I felt like I really empathized with her because that would be really scary to be in your 50s and to really not know what the future looks like.
Absolutely. I mean, definitely a lot of women have it a lot worse. A lot of people who get out of marriages and have truly nothing, you know, at least she has her fame to capitalize on. But yeah, I empathize with her.
Yeah. I mean, these housewives' careers, how long do they really last, you know? And mm-hmm. if you're thinking, okay, I need to be responsible for myself and set myself up for the last half of my life, really, it's definitely a situation that I give her props for being vulnerable right. about and talking about on the show.
Well, when she said, you know, I don't want to see the bills or the bills stress me out, you know, the camera, I think, panned around the table. And I just had this thought where I was like, when's the last time Kyle had to look at her electric bill or something? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm just right. sure that's just like a foregone stress or, you know, it's just not even on her radar. Not to say that, you know, she's out of touch or anything, but maybe she kind of is. Okay, right, I want to talk about a moment with Kyle and Dorit. What did you think about Dorit, you know, sort of saying to Kyle when they were having lunch, you know, I kind of miss the old Kyle selfishly. And when she says I miss the old Kyle, she's talking about the Kyle who used to drink. What did you think about that whole interaction?
I feel like it's just so common for people when they decide that they're no longer going to be partaking in whatever was what their friends got into, whether it's alcohol, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I feel like that's a really common thing that happens where they almost have to like change their friend groups.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's just what the crew does. And there is this expectation that they're still going to be partying and still going mm-hmm. to be having the same, you know, energy and fun with the crew. And when you're no longer partaking. I mean, the reality is Kyle's probably nowhere near as outgoing and gregarious as she was when she would drink. But as she said, she's super clear right now. She's feeling really good. She's really enjoying not drinking. And I think sometimes in life, you just have to make hard calls and you have to almost change your social life to accommodate, you know, your own peace and well-being. So I felt bad for her.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I was kind of disappointed to hear Dorit say that, you know, obviously she's just being honest and her and Kyle have a close relationship. But even Garcelle, you know, when Kyle the evening before had ordered a mocktail or something and Garcelle goes, how long is this going to last? You know, and I just think it's kind of sad to see it, people shaming her or saying that they miss the partying side of her, you know, so frequently, because clearly she's had a hard year. And if this is what she needs to do to, you know, feel okay and feel at peace as maybe her like marriage is unraveling, people should just give her a break, yeah, especially her close friends.
I totally agree. Sometimes I think people just say stupid stuff because it's such a knee-jerk reaction. Like, it's such a funny thing. Like, it's just the obvious funny thing to say. Right, like, how long are we doing this thing? Right. When are we going to start, you know, hanging from the chandeliers again, Kyle?
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it's kind of like the obvious joke to make and like icebreaker. I almost kind of like understand why they're giving her a little bit of a hard time.
Right, right.
But I'm with you. I think that I like seeing her so self-possessed right now.
I agree. I love seeing Kyle so self-possessed. And she does seem really clear. I like that she's portraying someone taking a break or maybe a forever pause on alcohol in a way that is very clear. And it's not like she was an alcoholic who's finally getting sober. I like seeing this portrayal of someone leading a sober life, I guess.
The one part of the episode that I felt like when we got into Kyle's marriage that I was curious or had a thought on was when she said that she's not the type to look the other way. Do you feel like that's true when she said that?
It's just, it's hard for me to believe it. I'm not going to say, oh, no, that's not true. It's just really hard for me to believe.
Mm-hmm. There was something that felt rehearsed in that moment when she said that. And maybe maybe that's true and she just had rehearsed it in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just something that came across as like, something is amiss here. And
it was a little canned.
Yeah, it was a little canned. And I think that she brought up the infidelity rumors, but she didn't say they're not true.
Right.
She just said that they've been trying to dodge these rumors. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's just obviously clearly so much that she is not disclosing.
Right, right, right. Side note, on a lighter note, I guess, I want a show that is just Sutton's assistant, Avi, doing things around the house and Sutton reacting to it. I feel like they have the most hilarious relationship and I like want more scenes with them.
He's always scurrying after her every women want.
Yes. She's like, did you put that there? About like a candle in the entryway. And he's like, do we like it? Like just literally tiptoeing around her. She would be a nightmare to work for. I'll just go ahead and say that.
I agree. Speaking of though, can we talk about the ending scene with Kyle and Sutton where So Kyle basically confronts Sutton for being someone who freaks out and like basically turns in social situations and has these meltdowns. And Sutton was like basically telling her to name them. She's like, name them. Mm-hmm. If you're saying I do that. And I felt like this was such a classic moment where a housewife is trying to be a meme. She sees the meme in her brain.
Right,
she sees
right.
the GIF. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to have that Dorinda say it, forget it, write it, regret it moment. She's trying to have that moment. It almost was like, remember when Meredith was in the bathtub when they brought up that Jen Shah was arrested? Mm-hmm. And it was like she had clearly staged that. Mm-hmm. So it would be this like very iconic moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was one moment for me where I just felt like I don't love it when housewives do that because it just seems so fake.
Right. Well, this is a problem, I think, with veteran casts or with just with us being in, you know, season double digits of Housewives is that they now know that if they get that one moment, then they're honestly like locked in a little bit more and that, you know, it just secures their place as like an iconic housewife. But yeah, I agree. It is a little bit annoying. And I think we're able to pick up on those more and more now.
Right, right.
One takeaway from this episode. And this is maybe not a new thought necessarily, but Crystal just continues to be, I think, the most, how do I say it? Like she just gives the least on camera. And I don't know if she's giving her most. And this is just, you know, compared to the other housewives, she just pales in comparison. But I just don't know if she should be on the cast still. Is that terrible to say?
No. Why is Crystal on the show? That's my question.
I don't want to be like mean, but she gives nothing. And even Garcelle, who I think maybe is also another like B-list housewife on Beverly Hills. Like, I feel like Garcelle really tries to bring it on camera. And I don't even feel like Crystal does that. And I just don't even know why, like, I don't know if the edits for her are bad, but I'm bored.
I think that Crystal is a really nice woman, really nice person. And that's her Achilles heel in the show. Like, she's not psychotic enough. She's not deranged enough. She's not deluded. She doesn't have a grandiose personality.
Right, right.
It's so strange to me that they keep renewing her, because I think she seems like someone I'd want to hang out with. But again, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't feel like she brings much to any of these scenes.
I mean, this whole trip was like for her birthday, and I feel like she was just such like a background character for this whole episode.
Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there?
You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is, for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like 5 photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple, because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty, essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie batter, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water, and that also, strangely, tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. Okay, so another crazy news story that broke, Chandler, is Cassie sued P. Diddy, aka Sean Combs, accusing him of rape and assault. So the details of this lawsuit are insane. So we have a quote from the New York Times. So it says, Sean Combs, the producer and music mogul who has been one of the most famous names in hip hop for decades, was sued in federal court on Thursday by Cassie, an R&B singer once signed to his label. He accused Mr. Combs of rape and of repeated physical abuse over about a decade. The suit says that not long after Cassie met Combs in 2005 when she was 19, he began a pattern of control and abuse that includes plying her with drugs, beating her and forcing her to have sex with a succession of male prostitutes while he filmed the encounter. In 2018, the suit says, near the end of their relationship, Mr. Combs forced his way into her home and raped her. After years in silence and darkness, Ms. Ventura, referring to Cassie, said in her statement, I am finally ready to tell my story and to speak on behalf of myself and for the benefit of other women who face violence and abuse in their relationships. In response, a lawyer for Mr. Combs said, Mr. Combs vehemently denies these offensive and outrageous allegations. For the past 6 months, he has been subjected to Ms. Ventura's persistent demand for $30 million under the threat of writing a damaging book about their relationship, which was unequivocally rejected as blatant blackmail. Despite withdrawing her initial threat, Ms. Ventura now has resorted to filing a lawsuit riddled with baseless and outrageous lies, aiming to tarnish Mr. Combs' reputation and seeking a payday. Okay, so the details of this, Chandler, are really graphic and crazy. So there was apparently one time when he saw her talking to another guy or like another talent agent, and he dragged her in and shoved her into a car and then kicked her in the face repeatedly. Oh my and gosh. She was so like messed up that she, I guess, had to recover for a full week in a hotel. So the thing for me that like makes this so obviously true is one incident alleged in the lawsuit was Cassie says that in early 2012, P. Diddy grew so angry about her dating the rapper Kid Cudi that he said he would blow up the rapper's car. Around that time, the suit says Kid Cudi's car exploded in his driveway, and a representative for Kid Cudi said that that was true. And then in another example of one of these like hotel sex I guess P. Diddy called it freak-offs.
Yeah, I heard like a freaky deaky or something along those lines.
A freak-off. Basically, like they would hire a bunch of male prostitutes mm-hmm. and then he would like watch her with them and mm-hmm. video it. Mm-hmm. And I guess he had saved a bunch of the videos that she thought were deleted. And like he showed her them on a plane one time, basically threatening her.
Yeah.
So, but then in one of the examples of one of these episodes or freak-offs at a Los Angeles hotel in 2016, an intoxicated Mr. Combs punched Miss Ventura in the face, giving her a black eye. He fell asleep and she tried to leave the room, but Mr. Combs woke up and followed her into the hallway where he threw glass vases at her, sending glass shattering throughout the corridor, according to the court filing. The hotel security cameras captured that incident, but the suit says that Mr. Combs paid the hotel $50,000 for the footage.
Wow.
For me, when there's actual video footage, when Kid Cudi's representative is saying, yeah, the car did blow up. Mm-hmm. I mean, this so clearly is all true.
Right.
Which is why he settled in a day. So she sued mm-hmm. for $30 million and within 24 hours they had settled, which
yeah.
I think that probably means she got what she asked for.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that this is just so wild. I think that if it wasn't true, he would have absolutely battled it out mm-hmm. to try to clear his name.
Right, right.
And these are just such horrific allegations, such horrific acts. And P. Diddy was obviously such a celebrated rapper and mm-hmm. artist and, you know, so successful within the industry. And it's just, to me, it's just like so horrifying to consider that someone who is so beloved by so many people was capable of doing such horrible things.
Yeah. One of the scariest parts to me is just how long this went on for, which, mm-hmm. you know, since what was it, 2005 when they met, or, you know, she was 19.
Right. Right.
That shows just how strong his hold on her was and how terrified she was. I mean, it's 2023. I know it feels like the early aughts was like yesterday, but it really wasn't. It's November of 2023, and we are now just hearing about all of this. Like, she was under his control and afraid of him for mm-hmm. so long, and that is just mm-hmm. so terrible. And you know, that is just that will alter her life forever.
I think that it said that she finally broke it off for good with him in 2018. So not that long ago, like 6 years ago, or 5 years ago. And then she married pretty shortly thereafter and now has a couple of little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the statute of limitations was coming up for these sort of crimes. And so that's why she came forward. I mean, here's my personal opinion. Like, take that money. Like, if you can have anything make your life better after being victimized in such an egregious way,
right?
Cash that check,
right?
Okay,
right.
Like people were so came after Wade Robson and the other accuser of Michael Jackson mm-hmm. so hard as just being like out for
looking for cash grab, yeah.
And it's like, on some level, if there's anything that can provide restitution, if there's something that can make your life better after something made it so gravely worse, yeah. Get that check.
Absolutely. Especially when you see that this person is just, I mean, actually this shouldn't even matter, but like, especially to see that he's like doing super well financially and thriving, you mm-hmm. know, like every action should be taken to try to make you whole.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, this is obviously a civil suit, so I don't know if any criminal charges will be brought. I will be curious to see if anyone else comes out of the woodwork because, you know, now that Cassie has been successful, there's probably she can't be his only victim, right?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, there's kind of a conspiracy, and I don't have all of the conspiracy details like in front of me on this, but a lot of P. Diddy's close circle and people in his close circle have died, and it's a little bit mysterious.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and people who also apparently were set to, you know, release books about their experience with him have died.
I mean, this is like worse than Harvey Weinstein mm-hmm. in terms of like Harvey Weinstein was obviously, sexually assaulting women and raping them. But to add on to it, like grave physical violence, this is just another level in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so not that rape isn't violent, but you know what I mean? Like kicking her in the face.
She was sex trafficked.
It's absolutely horrific.
I think it's worth digging into if people are curious because it seems like P. Diddy has a history of violence. And actually, it's not even like some of the like people close to him who have passed away. Those are more maybe conspiracy theories. But like he's been involved in very violent things for a long time.
Okay, well, maybe we can talk about that in more detail on the Patreon once we have more of those details. I'm so glad for Cassie that she got her settlement. I mean, I loved Cassie. Me and you, such a bop. I think Cassie was so stunning, is so beautiful, such a talented singer and such a talented performer. So hopefully this provides her some degree of closure and she, at least her story is known. And yeah, she got that check, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to lighter fare from the P. Diddy and Cassie lawsuit. Let's move on to the article about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
I listened to this article for the record, but so for me, it was a 23-minute deep dive with Travis Kelce. This Wall Street Journal reporter, journalist, was taken around Kansas City with him in his Rolls Royce. And we've seen a good amount of Travis Kelce from either his podcast with his brother, you know, and, and you know, he's not afraid of the camera by any means. But this article was just kind of like all about him. And, you know, to two football novices like Lauren and I, it was a ton of information about him that I really didn't know. And I was just so taken with more texture to his sort of really grounded upbringing in the past, like, you know, 10 years of his life that have not been all glitz and glam. We found out a lot about him, and then, you know, even more details about the past, you know, 3 months or however long they've been dating and where he's really been catapulted into the limelight. And so, yeah, I mean, let's just talk about some of the best details from it, shall we?
Yeah, I think that it's very clear to me that Travis Kelce is a major charmer. I mean, first of all, the writer of this article was very much under his spell. It's a glowing article about him. But yeah, I think that there were so many fun little details and things about him that made me just like really happy for our girl and made me feel like she's with someone who I think that one of the things it says in the article is like he really is at the top of his game. He's a star within his sphere. He's a mega star.
Yeah.
And it's got to be so fun for her to just be with someone who's like, who she can kind of like basically bond over both being these like mega stars in their respective professions. Like it's just so cool.
So it's funny. I agree with that take, but that wasn't actually my main takeaway for why I was so, or as to why I'm so happy for our girl. Do you want to know why?
Okay. Yeah.
I just think this guy seems like salt of the earth, ham. That expression is like, it's definitely ringing true of Thanksgiving week, but he just seems like he has like a really good head on his shoulders. And he just also seems like really fun and like jovial to be around. I mean, the fact that the reporter even said that he wants to potentially pursue comedy, like compared to like Joe Alwyn's being the deepest shade of blue or whatever, you know, his sadness is, like Travis Kelce just seems like he is consistently easy and happy to be around. And I just think that is such a good change of pace for Taylor. And that just came through so strong in this article.
I feel like Travis is like whipped cream in male form. Like he's just like, he's like a can of whipped cream. It's not any more complicated. Like
totally.
He's not even like, you know, fresh whipped cream that your grandma makes and dollops on raspberry pie. No, he's like whipped cream from a can. He's ready whip. It's like, it sprays with, I guess,
it's good on everything. No, none of these sound good. No, but I agree. It's the uncomplicated part of him that I really am starting to grow to enjoy. And I do think that, you know, we had concerns about him being potentially not complicated enough. And I think I'm really warming to the fact that he is just like happy-go-lucky. He's got the same friends since the first grade, which is what this article talks about, you know, is that, you know, a night for him unwinding is not at a club, bottle service, that type of thing that a lot of pro athletes, you know, take part in. It's him eating after a game around his kitchen island with his best friend since the first grade. Like he really has like the same group of friends forever, which we always talk about as like, I think a moniker of a good person.
Yeah, I felt like I was so endeared to him when he really talked about that. And I think that's something that he and Taylor really share in common, where they have their core group and that really includes their family as well.
Right.
Like their families, you know, are kind of within their empires, working within their empires, and really are close with them. And he talked about how he really was drawn to her and really liked that about her because he's such a family guy.
Yeah.
And they do seem really cut from the same cloth in that way. I loved when he talked about how he got cut from the team when he was in college for smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he kind of lost everything overnight. And he literally went to work in telemarketing.
Telemarketing firm.
Yeah. Cold calling, essentially.
Literally.
One of, like, the worst jobs ever.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that there's just something about him where he's clearly not a person who's forgotten what the struggle is like.
Yeah.
And so he obviously, like, is very grateful for his life, grateful for his achievements.
Right.
He is, like you said, like salt of the earth.
Even when he talked about his football salary and how, you know, he was like, you got to make people uncomfortable. You kind of have to be a savage to make a lot of money in football, or something along those lines. And he was like, I just, you know, I don't like to do that. And he doesn't even seem greedy. He's at the top of his game. He should be making more money than he is. And he doesn't even want to have those, like, hard conversations, which, like, you know, maybe people could look at that under a different light. You know, he's not enough of a bruiser or whatever, but, like, I really like that about him, that he just doesn't seem greedy. And I'm into that, you know, for her. Especially.
Agreed. And the other thing I'll say about it is there's some people are like, he wants to get into acting. He has this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, he's obviously spinning up careers for the future.
Right.
And I just feel like that's what our girl needs. She needs a Renaissance man. She needs someone who can reinvent himself,
right,
who, you know, is going to have a second chapter after this current career.
Right.
I actually, Chandler, do you ever think about this? Like, I consider, how much are they bonding over the idea that they're potentially on the wind down from the height of their careers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's for sure going to need to retire within the next 3 years, or probably 5 years maximum, most likely within the next 2 to 3.
Yeah.
And like Taylor said in Miss Americana, the documentary, like, you know, there aren't that many pop stars as, you know, women past 35.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, the media really tends to skew younger and focus on younger celebrities and musicians. And so I wonder how much they're both kind of bonding over looking at the next chapter for each of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I want that for our girl. I hope our girl is a Dolly Parton, continues to put out albums,
I don't
and
think
makes it, music for the rest of her life.
I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, not making music anymore, but, you know, I don't think there will ever be an Eras Tour 2.0.
I'm sure that it's something she's considering. And so I think that's probably something they both, you know, can relate to each other over.
Right.
Can I talk to you about a product that you love, that Courtney loves, and that I love?
Please.
Early Bird CBD gummies are so phenomenal, everyone. They are the perfect 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. So this concoction, it gives you the warmest, gooeyest feeling.
They have the magic formula. I love the watermelon flavor. That's my favorite. I also love using them when I know I need to get a good night's sleep and I can sleep in.
You guys, we love Early Bird CBD so much. We reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring the show, because we were like, these products, these gummies, everyone needs to know about them. We're going to tell them about them anyway. So maybe we can get paid to do it. And honestly, we just cannot recommend them enough. We have a link in our show notes. You can go to earlybirdcbd.com. Use code popapologist20 for 20% off. earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off. Do yourself a favor. Try the gummies.
They ship to all 50 states, everybody.
You got to try it. earlybirdcbd.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So, a couple other things. I loved it when they brought up the Today Show or Good Morning America interview with his mom, where if we famously remember, she described the encounter or hanging out with Taylor Swift as okay or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had speculated this kind of a tepid reaction. You know, everyone had said, you know, oh, maybe she was just nervous or whatever. And we find out in this article that she was really torn up about it because she felt like she'd done a bad job. And that after seeing it, Travis immediately called her after, told her what a great job she'd done, and then said that her green eyeglasses looked great or something totally touching like that. And it was just like, He just seems like a really good egg. That's like the only way I can put it.
I know. And it's like the same with her, like the way that her, you know, she leaves the stage and she's like giving her dad a hug and walking out arm in arm with her dad, like basically almost every night.
Yeah.
Like these are such family oriented people.
Right.
Like what other pop stars do we see where there seems to be, or what other people at, on their echelon where they like are like, I want my parents around me constantly.
Right. Right. You know? I mean, we're just going to overlook the lack of Austin Swift. Who?
No, Austin Swift is around.
I never see photographs.
No, he was at the Chiefs game.
Oh, he was?
With Hugh Jackman. Totally. Okay, Austin, I think works within like the T-Swift empire.
I mean, he is a mystery to me though. He's a shrouded mystery in my opinion.
I definitely think he probably takes more of a backseat and isn't like in front of the limelight.
Right.
But I think that, yeah, I think that both of them are just so family oriented. And you know, the other thing about him that I liked that he is just so effusive about her.
Yes.
And he's so effusive about how smart she is. Mm-hmm. So let me read a quote from the article. These days, however, with the relationship progressing, this is talking about his mom, Donna feels more at liberty than she did on the Today Show when she was trying to be tight-lipped, but then, you know, she seemed underwhelmed. So this is what Donna told the writer. She said, I can tell you this, beaming. She says, he's happier than I've ever seen him in a long time. God bless him. He shot for the stars.
So cute.
So cute. But and then the writer says, Travis seems freer too. He doesn't need to be asked about Taylor. He mentions her unreservedly, lavishes praise on her, calls her hilarious, a genius, notes that they share compatible worldviews, especially when it comes to family and work. Everybody knows I'm a family guy. Her team is her family. Her family does a lot of stuff in terms of the tour, the marketing, being around. So I think she has a lot of those values as well, which is right up my alley. So then the article continues, long before meeting Swift, Kelsey was just another Swiftie. In some ways, he still is. He explains the concept of her concert. She does it in eras, as if I live in a yurt in Outer Mongolia. Then he eagerly informs me that the night he attended, he was counting the minutes until it got to 1989. Blank Space was the one I wanted to hear live for sure. I could make a bad guy good for the weekend. That's a hell of a line.
I can like hear it in his voice.
That's a hell of a line. More often than not, he says, it's the Swiftian beat, a melody that captivates him. She writes catchy jingles, he says. But lately, he's all about those lyrics. He scrutinized the breakup stuff. What a miracle, he says, the way Swift can turn life into poetry. I've never been a man of words. Being around her, seeing how smart Taylor is, it has been fucking mind-blowing. I'm learning every day.
This part did like send a small like shiver down my spine. Because I don't know. Does Taylor need a man of words? I'm not sure. Potentially. Could he grow to be a man of words? Hopefully.
It'll be very interesting for me to see this play out as I think someone who, not to make it about myself, but I am a woman of many words. I have a podcast and obviously like words tended to be my thing in college and stuff. I was very into writing and I ended up marrying a guy who doesn't listen to lyrics, is a man of few words. And I think there sometimes can be an interesting like push-pull there or like an interesting, like you're drawn to someone who's so different from you.
Totally.
And you almost feel relieved. Like Kagan is so light, right?
Yeah.
He's so light mentally.
Yeah.
He does not brood. He bounces back from things. He's so resilient.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a lot of ways, like I really find so much relief in his personality.
Totally.
But there's also like there is that tension where it's like you have this big part of yourself that it's, you know, you can't really share or you can't really relate about.
Yeah. Or that you don't like, you don't find the same depth there. Like, you know what, when she said, Joe and I love sad music. Sorry, back to Taylor. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like Joe and I love to listen to sad music. Like, you know, that's a pretty like, I guess, emotionally intimate thing to share. And you can, you know, when you both feel the depths of the sadness together, like about abstract things. That being said, maybe it's not the best thing for a relationship. I don't know. I mean, I definitely don't feel like Ben is just like this massive man of words and is also, you know, just meets me exactly where I am, just like, you know, and wants to just be so sad or whatever. So I can understand that as well.
I think that with Taylor being able to really relate to, with Joe over art, probably, and being able to bond over a lot of that stuff. Yeah. That came with a package of Joe being kind of more morose,
right,
more potentially egocentric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that there's something really special in terms of Travis being like, no, this is where she shines. Like, I love it. And I think that it might be kind of a relief for Taylor to be with someone who just, I don't know, like, lets her be the lyric genius that she is, but yeah, doesn't kind of bring the mood down.
Totally.
And
yeah.
You know?
In the opening bit of the article, Travis says, you know, he had a coach who told him, you know, you're either a fountain or you're a drain. And right now you're being an effing drain. And mm-hmm. I really loved that expression. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, Travis is a fountain now. I mean, that's the, mm-hmm. he's exuberant. He's easy.
Right.
And I think that's really powerful for her. Can I tell a quick story about,
yeah, please,
about partners and, you know, loving sad music or whatever? You and I both love the song Remember When by Alan Jackson, right?
Of course. Yeah.
I remember the first time I played that for Ben and I was like, please just listen to this song with an open heart and an open mind and just think about, you know, put yourself in this song. And I like got a little teary listening to it, you know, so like I love to listen to that song when I've had half an early bird. Trust me, just do it. Okay. Anyway, Ben really did not feel anything. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's like a nice song. That being said, he does now sort of like the songs. He's warmed up to it. And
so you can lead a horse to water and sometimes they'll take a sip.
You can lead a horse to Alan Jackson and sometimes they'll take a sip. So there's hope.
I love that Ben came around. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause and makes me mm-hmm. nervous is mm-hmm. I'm focused on other things these days. I don't care as much about the things I used to care about so sure. deeply.
Sure.
When it comes to Taylor and Travis, like, this is her life's work. Mm-hmm. Like, can her partner and husband be someone who is really just way more of a simpleton than her? I don't know. I'm coming back to this question.
I don't know. I think this is a true opposites attract situation. Opposites yeah. emotionally attract, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, everyone's kind of in a relationship of varying shades of that. And I think it's just remains to be seen. I don't know, Lauren, because I feel the same
tiny, tiny reservation, small pit in my stomach.
Yeah. I think when he said, like, I'm learning every day from her. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone also wants to be in a relationship where both partners are learning from each other. And maybe she is learning from him, but like, I don't know.
Maybe she's learning how to maybe not take herself so seriously.
Totally.
Maybe she's learning just a lot about maybe like his effusive everyday exuberance mm-hmm. is enough. You know,
right,
that's what he's giving her.
Yeah.
I found the article to be so good. So everyone, it's worth getting behind the paywall on the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. I did sign up for a Wall Street Journal subscription so I could read the whole thing. And it really is
worth
reading. Yeah, absolutely.
Before we end this podcast, let's just touch on some of the details from Taylor Swift's weekend in Brazil. Some terrible things occurred. The most tragic being that a fan died of heart failure. I don't know the exact details of maybe they don't even know yet, but a fan died due to the extreme conditions at the show. Obviously, this is the first type of tragedy like this that we've seen, you know, at the Eras Tour. And it's just so sad. This fan was so young, you know, and Taylor released a statement about it on her Instagram story. And yeah, I just think that the conditions at this concert were really awful. I mean, fans were chanting water. Taylor was trying to give water to people, you know, and it seemed like it was a total, you know, tragic, hellish situation.
Yeah. So this is what the New York Times says. So it says Taylor Swift Eras Tour broke records in North America, but faced tragedy and mishaps during a 3-day stretch of concerts in Rio de Janeiro. Taylor was welcomed to Brazil on Thursday by a projection that made the world famous Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio appear as if it were clad in a t-shirt similar to the one she wore in her You Belong With Me music video and was decorated with the names of Brazilian states and symbols from her songs. But tragedy and trouble have followed that warm welcome. A fan died in the sweltering heat at Friday night's show in Rio. Ana Clara Benavides, 23, died after losing consciousness during the performance of Cruel Summer. She was pronounced dead of cardiac arrest after being taken mm-hmm. to the hospital. Reports were that she was resuscitated at the venue after losing consciousness, but then had a heart attack in the ambulance.
Oh my gosh.
Taylor released a statement on Instagram that said, "I can't believe I'm writing these words, but it is with a shattered heart that I say we lost a fan earlier tonight before my show. I can't even tell you how devastated I am by this. There's very little information I have other than the fact that she was so incredibly beautiful and far too young." Taylor added, "I'm not going to be able to speak about this from stage because I feel overwhelmed by grief when I try to even talk about it. I want to say now I feel this loss deeply and my broken heart goes out to her family and friends. This is the last thing I ever thought would happen when we decided to bring this tour to Brazil." So, you know, it's like record-breaking heat due to El Nino, which is happening. Reports were that it felt like it was in the 140s and 150s Fahrenheit. And then also to add insult to injury, on this first performance night on Friday, they closed the vents to the stadium. This was, I guess, to prevent potentially drones from entering or, you know, they didn't want people gathering outside to try to listen through the vents or something like that. So they closed the vents, which made it even hotter in the stadium. I mean, if you see videos of Taylor performing, there's this one video of her at the end where she looks like she's trying not to pass out. It just looks... She honestly, I think she tried so hard, but she, I could tell, was miserable. But beyond that, I mean, it is just so utterly horrible that this fan died. And one thing I really want to bring up, we have a lot of listeners on this show who go to concerts, who go to Coachella, who go to stuff like this. This is something I said on our group chat. I think that it's just so important to always put your physical health before any of these experiences. Like if you're at an experience like this and you feel like you're overwhelmed by the demanding physical nature of it, you have to listen to your body. I listened to someone on TikTok describe how during Marjorie, they felt like they're about to pass out and they left because it was so hot. Like, obviously I don't want to blame the victim at all. This is just so egregious, but I do think it's important to really recognize that, you know?
Well, and I think what we've seen, you know, post Travis Scott Astroworld, you know, situation with the rushing and the stampedes and, you know, all of those, like these crazy things that are happening to people at concerts more and more, is that you have to really like, you have to take your own personal health and safety seriously because while you want to go there and just have a good time, they can be quite dangerous events. And, you know, it's certainly something that I've like, you know, I definitely feel like I'm more aware of it just in post Astro World. I feel like that was the first time, you know, I've always felt fairly safe. Like I went to Coachella and like, but I'm not the type of person who needs to be like front row. But I know that if you are trying to be like front row at some of those more general admission venues, which is what was happening at Brazil, you know, there's a huge general admission section. Everyone is pressing forward and you can literally be like crushed by that force of a crowd. And it's really scary. And so, you know, it's just something we all have to be aware of because, you know, it happens. And unfortunately, the venues don't always do a good job of ensuring the safety of people who are going there. And, you know, we saw that with, with people not having enough water. And, you know, Taylor was literally asking the venue to do more. And yeah, it's just, it's a terrible situation.
Yeah. And I think that it probably is something too, where people are afraid to go use the restroom because, you know, they don't want to lose their spot.
Right.
And are afraid to go get water because they don't want to lose their spot.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't be general admission at a show. I don't want to, I don't ever want to have that type of fan experience. It's not important enough for me, you know, at this point in my life to be super close, you know, to also feel the intensity. And frankly, you feel trapped when you are like, Like I've been in, I can't even remember what it was, but I've been at concerts where I was fully, I could not move. I could not move.
Like for real.
Yeah. You could, there's no space. It's crazy to say because
so you
can't
leave either.
You have to like yell, like, let me out. Like you have to like really try because everyone,
hearing about this.
It's really terrifying. And I think that luckily everything was always fine at those situations, but it, until you've experienced it, you like can't really understand the fact that you can't move, but you cannot because I mean, you know, the force of people pressing, you know, and I mean, it's so terrible, but like people were literally like trampled at like Astroworld. It's really scary. And to me, it's not worth it to me to be close anymore. Like I want just a seat. And even when people are trying to exit, like, you know, when people are trying to exit eras or whatever, like the crowds can be extremely scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it was crazy to hear reports. I'm just going to read you this report because it was so wild, Chandler. But this is someone talking about how about her postponing her show. So at the 11th hour, Taylor postponed her Saturday show until Monday to the dismay of thousands of fans who had already started filling the stadium. Anna DiMatta, 30, a psychologist in Sao Paulo, was supposed to attend Saturday night and said she would be returning home before the rescheduled concert on Monday because she had to work. I spent the last 17 years waiting for the opportunity to go to fulfill my teenage dream of meeting someone I've known since her very first single, and to be sitting 3 hours in a chair, completely wet with sweat, having to overcome several personal challenges to be here completely alone, and then to receive the news that it was canceled. It's completely devastating. Taylor, in her statement, when she said that it was canceled, said, "The safety and well-being of my fans, fellow performers, and crew has to and always will come first." I think that if there's one thing that is really difficult about this, it's like, I just wish the Saturday show had been canceled earlier. Like, I wish had people waiting all day to be canceled. Right. I mean, those people waited past the worst part of the heat.
It's terrible. And I don't know why they waited so long.
I wonder what changed. And I'm very curious what was happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. So she proceeded to play Bigger Than the Whole Sky at the Sunday show. That was mm-hmm. the second surprise song. And that was obviously in tribute to Anna, although Taylor did not discuss it from this stage. It's really, really tragic. I don't think Taylor will probably ever go back to Brazil. I don't think she'll probably ever deal again with venues that are so irresponsible and production companies that do such a bad job, hopefully.
I said this in our group text, but I do wonder what this means for the tour going forward. You know, this, you know, other international tours, other international dates and locations.
Yeah, it puts everything in such a tricky position. And I was actually messaging our friend Kyle about this. And we were talking about how, you know, you really have to think, she has so much pressure on her. She has all those fans who have flown out, who've got hotels, who've had their year revolve around the mm-hmm. state. And then, so in front of her, she has the fans, and behind her, she has the band. She has the dancers.
Right.
She has the crew, the truckers, everyone whose families and livelihoods depend on this tour.
Right.
Like, that is so much pressure for her.
Right. Right.
And so I'm sure any sort of postponement or cancellation, it is just the hardest call to have to make.
Especially when we've seen her perform in the pouring rain. We've seen her, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's not like she's just like, oh, you know, if the conditions aren't perfect, we'll pull the plug, you know, it was really dire.
Before we close, Chandler, one other thing, did you see this? So there was going to be a fan protest essentially at the third night, just the fact what a disaster this leg of the tour was in Brazil. And they were going to, so during Champagne Problems, that's the time, or after Champagne Problems, is when the crowd goes crazy for Taylor. She takes out her earpiece, takes it all in, has that moment of connection with the fans. Mm-hmm. And instead of cheering like wild, which is what the crowds do normally, they were going to be silent for Anna, and basically silent and not cheering for her, like in protest. That was the plan on social media. And this is so crazy, Chandler. So after Champagne Problems, instead of having that moment, she goes immediately into the next song. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was so interesting. So it was like, whoa, she knows exactly what people are doing. She knows the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there is a team of people who are keyed into the conversation, you know, letting her know what the mood is of the fans, and, you know, sounds like what they had planned.
It's so funny because I'm always watching this stuff and I'm like, for some reason, I think she doesn't see it, but she clearly sees it.
Does. Yeah.
And one of my questions is, and the thing I was talking about with Kyle was like, is there the potential that during the show in her earpiece, like during the first show, that, because for me, it's like, how does she visually see that people need water? That's very mm-hmm. confusing to me. How do they signal to her from 20 feet away?
Well, they were chanting. Thirsty? They were chanting water.
Okay. Because one of the conspiracy theories is that they were telling her, like, you need to, like, basically be, like, instructing for people to get water and be, like, coordinating this from the stage.
Because
this is going to look so bad that it needs to be very obvious that this is, like, the venue failing and not, like, Team Taylor.
Oh, interesting. It's not Taylor's fault if it's too hot in the venue.
No, right, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
But yeah,
I mean, she looked,
yeah.
She was miserable. It's not like suffering through it too.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like she looked perfect and it was just,
Anyway, I don't think she has Sao Paulo this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if she stays in Brazil or if she goes to New York for a couple days. Some people are saying that she shouldn't even leave because like it legally with the death, like it's just, it's honestly, it's very, very sad.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. The mom of the daughter recently said that like there's been no reach out from Taylor's team or from the production company. No one's reached out and they're basically like having to... They live 900 miles away.
Oh my gosh.
And they're having to pay to have the daughter brought back. Wow. And that's very expensive.
Right.
And she's like, my daughter's not back yet. Like, it's completely devastating. Ugh, in every way.
So awful.
So
awful. Oh my God.
You can't imagine being that parent. You can't imagine how Taylor's feeling right now. It's just,
it's so
really,
awful.
Really horrible.
It's really sad. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, sorry, everyone. We're kind of ending on a tragic note, but we have to, you know, bring you all the latest, you know, in Taylor world. We love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the Patreon, subscribing on Apple. Thank you. You literally keep us going. And
yeah.
Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving week. We'll see you on the Patreon.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see you on the Patreon. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at Pop Apologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.